Yeah, so this is it's a topic that comes up all the time. And it's the topic of empathy. And specifically, we're talking to you out there who has such a high level of empathy that you feel so deeply for other people, those that you care about and those in the broader community. Those of you who are so good at being able to think about how a situation is going to impact someone else. Those of you who take into account how what you do and what you say is going to affect the other person. It is your superpower. It's an amazing strength to have. And yet, it's a kryptonite at the same time.
You're listening to episode 201 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast, where we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset.
The courage to face fears with persistence.
Being able to be present enough in this moment to choose my response thoughtfully.
We have the strength to bend to life stressors, to bend to adversity without snapping, without breaking.
There are only 6 things that contribute to our quality of life, and they are all experiences.
In every moment, we are deciding who we want to be and how we want to live our lives.
Noticing what your brain is doing and then being able to make choices.
Mobilize the things that we know lift us up.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Building Psychological Strength podcast. My name is April, and I'm your host. I want to say thank you as we start this off. I was just in the back end. There's this like software website place where I upload the podcast every week, and it does its magic, which frankly, I don't even understand. And it sends the podcast out to all the fun places where people get podcasts. And inside this platform, I can also see things like how many downloads we're getting, which episodes you're liking more, which platforms are performing better for us, and that type of thing. But one really cool thing that I saw is where in the world this podcast has been downloaded so far. And I'm excited to say that since the beginning, we have been downloaded in 138 countries. And that's really cool because that is not something that I can do. It doesn't have anything to do with me. This is 100% you guys downloading this show, subscribing to this show, sending it to other people who might find it helpful. And sincerely, from somebody who has worked really hard on a project that is totally fueled by passion, a sincere thank you for doing that. It was such a cool thing to look in. P.S. If you have any friends in Greenland, we've never been downloaded there. If you could just like pass this to them, that'd be great. I'm joking. I was saying before we hopped on to record that I'm playing my own game of like world domination or risk behind the scenes, trying to get us downloaded in every country in the world. Anyway, thank you so much, seriously, because it really keeps us going on this podcast when we know how big of a reach it is getting and how much impact it's having for people. This week, we want to dive into a topic that I think is going to hit really well with a lot of you, because I think a lot of you probably will resonate with being in a position where you feel like you're almost torn in a couple of directions. And it is a scenario that is all too familiar for people, but can go in a great direction and can also be really difficult. So I'm going to welcome Ashley to the show, and we're going to dive in on this important topic. Ashley, I'll let you intro what we're talking about.
All right. Yeah. So this is it's a topic that comes up all the time, and it's the topic of empathy. And specifically, we're talking to you out there who has such a high level of empathy that you feel so deeply for other people, those that you care about and those in the broader community. Those of you who are so good at being able to think about how a situation is going to impact someone else. Those of you who take into account how what you do and what you say is going to affect the other person. It is your superpower. It's an amazing strength to have. And yet, it's a kryptonite at the same time. So we want to be able to talk about that and like the downsides of being so empathetic and how to navigate that, right? So I think, you know, when I talk with people, people who are really high on empathy also tend to run toward anxiety. Mm. And it's because, I mean, you've got this superpower that gets used against you. It can be hard to set boundaries. It can be hard to kind of turn things off. So there are a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of benefits that go with it, especially for the people around you, right? Like, how lucky are your friends and your family and your partners and your coworkers and your children to have you in their life when you're so incredibly thoughtful and so incredibly caring, right? They're lucky. Mm-hmm. And yet sometimes you probably get hurt because mm-hmm. it's not reciprocated. And that's where turns into, I don't want to say weakness. That's why I like to go kind of kryptonite, right? Like it can be used against you. And here's why. When you don't get the same treatment back, right? Like you so naturally think through all of these things that when the people in your life aren't doing the same, it leaves you feeling hurt because it comes so naturally to you. Of course, you assume it comes naturally to them. So they're not thinking of you in the same way. They're not taking your feelings into account or how it's going to impact you in the same way. It feels very intentional, right? Because you would never do that. So it feels so intentional. It feels so uncaring. And that hurts. Here's the secret, though. Not everybody has this superpower. So it's not that they don't care. It's not that they're not thinking of you. It's their mind just doesn't quite work in that same way. And I don't want to minimize your experience at all, but it does mean there are some things you have to do to kind of buffer against it so that you don't end up moving through life with your feelings hurt all the time or feeling like you don't matter or like others are taking advantage or dismissing you. They're not. They're just not as superpowered as you are.
I love this topic so much. It reminds me in a couple of the programs that we offer. So inside the Ascend program, we talk about this. We also have a brand new program called Self-Care by Design. We talk about this a lot in that program as well. How a lot of us, if you're in that program, we call it like a highly responsible person, but a lot of us have an intricate web of people who we support. And I don't want to say like they only lean on us and they would crumble if we weren't there, but we play an important role. We play mm-hmm. a significant role. If you want to just see this for yourself, take out a sheet of paper. When you get back to your desk, just like look at the timestamp right now so you can come back to this exercise. Take out a sheet of paper and draw a little circle in the middle of the sheet of paper and just draw like a stick figure or write the word me. This is you, right? You're in this middle sheet of paper. Then draw another circle around that circle and then a large circle around the second circle. So you basically got a target that you've drawn on this piece of paper. On the second circle out from like the next one out from where you wrote me, I want you to write all of the people who you support. This could be, and again, it's not 100% support, but you play a significant role in their life. So this might be your kids. This could be a significant other. This could be people at work. These could be community members. These could be friends. This could be it can be so many different people. Write those people in that next ring out. Then in the furthest ring out off of each person, I want you to draw a line and then another circle that shows what you do for that person. So coming off of you, you're going to have nodes. We're mind mapping right now. You're going to have nodes that lead to a bunch of different people and a bunch, like all of those people are going to have a bunch of nodes coming off of them that are things that you do for them. Highly empathetic people, highly responsible people, mm-hmm. these webs get to be incredibly complex, incredibly dense, and intricate. And I encourage people to do this exercise. This is actually one of the exercises in our new program, Self-Care by Design. We encourage people to do this exercise because the minute you do, you start to see everything on your shoulders. And you start to see yourself as the asset to everyone around you that you truly are. And so when Ashley talks about empathy being such a superpower, gosh, how lucky are those people right? to have you in their lives.
Mm-hmm. And to have you caring for them and feeling for them and with them and doing things to make their life better, to make their life more positive or more pleasant or just better all around. Mm-hmm. They are so lucky.
Mm-hmm. Even something as simple as people use the phrase holding space, right? It just means you've got a person who's there with you, who's mindful and in the moment. They are present with you in the moment, and their only job in that moment, their only goal is to listen and absorb what you're saying and maybe reflect it back to you. Their job is not to give their input, tell their story, explain mm-hmm. their example. And my guess is if you are high in empathy, you play that role for a lot of people.
Well, and you know, this is you, if you're the kind of person that your friends always come to, if you mm-hmm. find yourself saying, everybody comes to me with their problems. Okay. That's a sign that you're high on empathy, right? People are drawn toward your ability to be there for them, to feel for them and to support them. And that's amazing. Now ask yourself, do you lean on other people? Because a lot of times folks high in empathy don't always do that. And for a number of reasons, and you'd have to check your mind, like what reasons is my mind giving me? Is it, I don't want to burden them. That's where your empathy is backfiring, right? It's keeping you from getting the support you need because you're thinking about, well, they have all this on their plate. They have all this going on. I don't want to add my burden to them. Mm-hmm. And so you're caring for them, but it keeps you from getting the support you need. And that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And that's where your empathy gets, I just kind of think sometimes it gets twisted against you. And that's something you got to look out for. Like, okay, I want to be caring for them. I want to hold space, but I want to lean on them too. And here's the secret, guys, is that you know how it feels good for you to be there for people? Sometimes, right? And we're going to talk about kind of getting flooded in a second, but you know, it feels nice to be a support. Your folks think the same way. So they, when you lean on them and you give them an opportunity to help you, you are actually also giving them an opportunity to feel good about what they're doing. So it's kind of selfless in a way to lean on your network. And I'm guessing that's not the way you normally think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's interesting to think about, we've done episodes in the past about mental load. We've talked about our limited capacity as human beings. Ashley, I butcher this quote every time, but you are a miraculous human being who is bound by biology and bound by your mind. We only have so much capacity. And when you're high in empathy, you're the same way. You have a limited capacity. Your capacity might be a little bit higher than other people's, mm-hmm. but think about, you've got a glass, you know, an empty glass. How much water are other people pouring into it? Like how much of other people's emotions, struggles, and experience are you carrying in that glass? Mm-hmm. And how much room is left for your own? You're mm-hmm. likely to tap out. And we've talked about this ad nauseum in prior episodes when we've talked about the Ascend program. And now it again, it comes up within Self-Care by Design, because when you're an asset to a lot of people, when you have one of those cups where a lot of people are pouring into it, like pouring their needs into it, you find yourself in a situation where you need to be protected so much more than say the average person or somebody who's not in that situation. Mm-hmm. You need to protect your time, your energy, your mental ability, your own emotional state, your capacity. We're just human beings with only limited capacity. And when yours is being taxed over and over, burnout is so fast and so easy to happen if you're not protecting yourself.
Well, and that's what I was thinking about, you know, compassion fatigue, which is just another nerd for burnout. And we see it a lot in caring and helping professions, but across the board too. If I can take your cup metaphor and twist it the opposite way, like you guys have probably heard that saying, like you can't pour from an empty cup. So if you're pouring into everybody else, given your time, your energy, your love, your support, and no one is pouring into you, you're gonna max out. That's where burnout comes in. Now, here's what's interesting, I think, is to kind of think about getting flooded a little bit. Like if, you know, when you're high on empathy and you're there for everybody else, it can feel incredibly overwhelming, right? There are people who feel big. Like we all have the capacity to feel a whole range of emotions, but some people feel big. And so the same thing, like to me, maybe I only feel it as like a 2 or 3 out of 10. And someone else might feel it as like an 8 or 9, and they're not being dramatic. They just have more intense emotions. It can be exhausting and it can be overwhelming, but look at what happens. So if you don't know how to navigate and manage your empathy, this is another way it gets used against you. It can kind of backfire. You're showing up for everybody else. You're caring so much about everybody else that it gets overwhelming. So you, like any normal, sane person who recognizes I can't keep doing this, you withdraw. And isolate, right? So then you back off, but then that's sort of like checking out. And that comes with some problems too, because it's going to make you disconnected from the people in your life, or it's going to make you react in ways that you don't like. Like maybe then that's when you're snapping at your kids or you're avoiding your friends' phone calls. And the answer here is to find, so it's not an all or none. It's not, I go all in, I take on everybody else's emotions, everybody else's problems, as though they're my own, I've got the weight of my world, or I check out completely. We got to find a middle ground here, right? We got to find balance. One critical skill here is boundaries, right? Like being able to set boundaries with people so that you can say, I can care completely for you and with you, but not going beyond that, saying I'm not going to take on more than what's in my control, what's in my responsibility, and what's within my capacity. And boundaries are an important part of self-care. So I know we keep hitting this like self-care piece. It is so, so important for navigating your empathy, keeping it from being used against you.
Yeah. I'm part of, this is going to sound weird, but I've had an account on the website Reddit for, I don't know, probably 7 or 8 years now. And one subreddit that I have followed for quite a while that's been really interesting lately, especially, is the working moms subreddit. Now, I don't want to say that it's only women or it's only moms or it's only working moms or it's only, like, not it at all. But it just, so many of the posts there remind me of this. So just think more about the words of these posts and less about this category of people. Although if you're in that category, you may resonate with this as well. More posts than I can count, more than daily. Somebody is posting on that subreddit, I can't do this anymore. Like, I can't handle this anymore. Mm-hmm. And it has a lot to do. And those posts happened pre-COVID. Those posts happened when we were all just dealing with normal life, when our kids had normal school and our jobs were normal and there was separation and we had nice, tidier boxes than what we have now. And all that has been ripped away in 2020. And this is just, it's more complicated. And the number of those posts has just heightened. And it's people who are finding it really difficult to continue to carry the load that they have, because it's a superhuman amount that they're being asked to do. And what's really interesting about those posts is as you read in, people are like, oh, you need to be journaling, or oh, you should try yoga, or oh, you should try whatever it is. And they're giving the basics of what we sort of like the cartoon version of self-care that we see so many times on social media, that it's no wonder why it's not working for for these women. We did an episode a while back. If you search for it on your podcast platform, and I'll link to it in the description as well, about our approach to self-care around the self-care pyramid. And there are levels to this that you need to think about on an individual basis in order to make the activities that you're doing to support yourself more effective. And Ashley, what rang true for me is, as you were saying, like, you know, all of us have these competing priorities. All of us have this competing, or these sort of different, different capacity. We all have different needs in terms of what helps us show up and feel whole so that we can be there for people. And it's a soapbox that I could be on for days, because the last thing we need to be doing is telling people they need to be doing self-care, giving them one more thing to put on their list that isn't actually getting them where they want to be.
Right. Yeah. And I know we can stay on that soapbox because it's such an important one. I'm going to detour just a bit though, because you said, just as you were talking, it kind of sparked another thing of like, okay, well, how do you navigate your empathy, right? Like, if you're really high on empathy, how do you use it in the way that you want to, but keep it from being twisted and backfiring? Obviously self-care, obviously boundaries. But one of the other things is keeping in mind that other people don't have that same superpower. Like I mentioned when we started, right? So that you can remind yourself and reframe it in your mind, like, they're not doing this intentionally to hurt me. Poor thing doesn't have the same level of empathy that I do. You've got to be vocal about what you need. And maybe that's part of your self-care. Maybe that's part of your boundary setting. That's got to be part of just your navigating this life, is being able to tell the people who do care about you what you need, because they may not anticipate it or intuit it in the same way that you will.
Mm-hmm. We don't realize sometimes when something comes so easy to us that it doesn't come easy to other people. And it's the beauty of, our own, well, we've talked about neuroplasticity a lot, right? Yeah. Like it's the beauty of neuroplasticity, right? The more you do something, the more you practice a skill, the more you practice a thought pattern, the more you, whatever, the more automatic it gets. And each of us have practiced different patterns to a different degree. And we don't realize, like, we all have not had the same experience. And so it can feel so like, obvious. Why isn't this person thinking about me as much as I'm thinking of them? And it isn't that they aren't thinking about you, but they just don't go about it in the same way. They don't, feel as deeply, feel as clearly as you do. That's such a good point. It keeps us from making an assumption about the other person's intent.
Yeah.
And it keeps us more neutral about that other person's intent, which largely people are pretty neutral intention across the board.
And that's just going to cut down on feeling hurt or feeling angry or feeling resentful, right? When you can kind of look at it in a more factual way. It makes me think, my pause is, I think we could take that in a couple of different directions. And I'm trying to like rein it in, because, I love to nerd out about all of these topics. I'm with you on that passion piece, but kind of bringing it back to, all right, how do we use our empathy? How do you, are there other ways that it can be used against you, and how do you protect from that? And I think we're hitting kind of the main points that I tend to see and have seen for the last, 15 years and working with people. It's really kind of boils down to, I think, there's some mindfulness that comes in and self-awareness, right? Like, what's coming up? What am I experiencing right now? Taking care. I feel like I'm just like hitting that same nail on the head of, it comes back to self-care and boundaries. And it comes back to dealing with your thoughts, right? All of that stuff we work on in the Ascend program with the different thought patterns and ways to counter them, and really effective ways to counter them.
Mm-hmm. One other thing I'll throw in that helps me a lot. I'm a framework person. Can you just like box me in a little, like give me a formula or something? I can operate inside a formula, but I need sort of a head start. And something that I've added to my self-care routine recently. And the reason for this, I'll be very clear because it's very related to what we're saying here. My kids are now 2 and 4.5. And the earlier days before your kids reach the age of 2, your identity, we need to do a whole episode on role engulfment and identity fusion, but your identity with yourself and with those kids becomes fused, and it becomes really difficult to see your own needs because all you're seeing are theirs. Mm-hmm. As they get older, though, they become much more independent, able to take care of themselves. Their needs are ones that you don't necessarily have to fulfill at all times, but that habit dies hard. Yeah. So for me, my youngest hit the age of 2, and I'm like, wait, in like a dozen times a day, and this is where the framework comes in. Well, one time in the morning, I ask myself this question: what can I do today to make today great? What that forces me to do is look at my calendar, scan my body, think about, you know what? I am like frazzled right now. I'm going to get a walk in. Like, I'm just going to put it on my calendar right now. I'm going to get a walk in by the end of the day. So what can I do to make today great? That's every single morning.
Love that.
And multiple times throughout the day. And the cue for this has been my kid has asked me for something. Mom, can I have a glass of water? Mom, can you put Disney Channel on? Mom, where's my, can you, I need, that's my cue. So we're developing a new habit, right? That's my trigger. Mm-hmm. What that triggers me to do before I will take care of my kids' need, I make myself stop. I'm dead serious. I do this all the time now. I make myself stop and say, is there anything that you need right now, April? And sometimes it's very simple. I'm like, I haven't had a glass of water in like 6 hours. So while I'm going to take care of my kid, I'll grab a glass of water. Or I need chapstick because it's winter in Minnesota and I need chapstick. Or something simple like, I actually really need a break. So yeah, you can watch some Disney Channel. I'm going to go zone out for a second. But what it's doing is it's forcing me to put some distance between my kids' needs and my own and reconnect with asking myself what I need. So if you're a high empathy person, a high responsibility person, that mm-hmm. may be a tip, like a framework that you can build into your day that becomes a little more formulaic. Because if you're like me, I won't do it if there's not a formula or a structure. I'll let it fall by the wayside.
I love that so much because I just think it's probably pretty effective. It's a really great example of what self-care actually is, right? Like when you guys hear the word self-care, is that the kind of thing you pictured? Or was it the cartoony Instagram bubble baths? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a huge bubble bath fan.
Yes.
That's not self-care for me. That's like relaxation. It's leisure. Like that's a part of it, but that is not the, how am I taking care of my needs? How am I staying on top of my physiology, my biology, my mental health and well-being, my goals and achievement, all of that stuff. How am I showing up? What am I doing to help me show up at my best? Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. The other thing about that example in particular that I like is while you are considering the needs of other people, you are also considering your own needs. So what we're talking about, I think a really great way to balance this or maybe to pull in when you're thinking about empathy is not putting yourself ahead of everybody else. That feels selfish to a lot of us. And we can talk about healthy selfishness. It's also not sacrificing yourself or martyring yourself to take care of everybody else. You are simply putting your needs on par with everybody else's. So they're on an equal level. And that is so important. Your needs are just as important as everyone else's. Your feelings are just as important as everyone else's. If you truly believed that, if I looked at you and I followed you around all day, would I see that in your actions? And that, April, to your example, it is, right? If you're kind of pausing and then I would see you get a glass of water for yourself and for little Miss Ripley, awesome. Then I'm seeing it, right? But that's a way that we can, that ties back to neuroplasticity. We can start to train our brain to take care of our needs and other people's. Here's the cool thing. Taking care of your needs actually is better for the other people in your life too. Mm-hmm. Go back to your circles. When you're well cared for, when your empathy tank isn't run out and you're not withdrawing because it's been exploited, how are you showing up for them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just a lot of stuff. Yeah.
It is. But I love that we tackled that in this episode because it's one that I know you see a lot in your patients. I see a ton in, I mean, a million different places. It's common for people to get themselves in a situation where they are burning out. And so folks listening to this, I hope you're taking away at least a nugget of something that you can do to make sure that you're protecting yourself, protecting your own capacity, protecting your energy and your limited resources, still giving to others, but making sure that there's something left there for you and something left there when the unexpected comes up. This has been an awesome episode. I love this topic.
Yeah, it's definitely it's always fun to kind of get into the weeds and talk about these things and hopefully in ways that folks aren't used to thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On our way out of this episode, we're going to drop some information about our newest program, Self-Care by Design. I'm going to give a little teaser right now. This is a very fun, interactive life design approach to designing a custom self-care routine. This means it's actually going to be effective and going to work because it's tailored to you. It's also tackling that nasty G word of guilt. So imagine having a guilt-free, tailored, effective self-care routine. How incredible is that? And because we've heard so much need for this program, we've priced it extremely low. So $29. Insanely low because we want you guys to have access to resources that can support you in being able to show up and feel a little bit better throughout your life as you're supporting other people. Amazing. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. It was an important topic. Please take care of yourselves. You are such an asset to every person who is around you, who you support, who interacts with you. You absolutely deserve that same level of support and care as you're providing to everyone else. And we hope we've given you some tips to help you do that. All right, we'll roll some information about our newest program. We're so excited for you to hear about it and reach out to us if you have any questions about it.
Stop for just a moment and think about everything on your plate. Think about all of the people who rely on you for support and all of the things you do for them. It can feel overwhelming at times. It's time to start taking care of you. The thing is, I'm sure you've heard that. I'm sure you've heard that self-care is important. But most of the talk about self-care that you hear focuses on things like bubble baths and manicures. And I don't know about you, but I have never had a manicure good enough to help me feel calm, balanced, and at my best on a daily basis. The truth is, most people miss the key goal of your self-care routine: to support you in being your best. A true self-care routine is designed to put you in a position to show up as your best on any given day. It's not haphazard or based off of some Instagram photo. It's not a carbon copy of anyone else's morning routine, and it shouldn't be guilt-ridden. Rather, a self-care routine is one that you feel good about doing, that fits into your life, and that's designed to get you a specific outcome. You feeling your best on most days. To help you do just that, we're excited to introduce our newest Peak Mind program, Self-Care by Design. This program will take you through a step-by-step design process specifically tailored to help you get a clear picture of what you look like at your best. That's what we're designing for, after all. To rid you of the guilt that keeps so many of us from prioritizing ourselves, and to design a routine that actually works for you. At just $29, this program is an absolute no-brainer for anyone who's ready to support and prioritize themselves and their relationships with others around them. What would it feel like to show up as your best on most days? How would your most important relationships improve? How would your life improve? Visit peakmindpsychology.com/self-care to get all the details. It's time to make yourself a priority. Head over to peakmindpsychology.com/self-care, get all the details, and enroll today.
It's a simple fact that nearly everyone in the world could benefit from building psychological strength.
but not everyone will put in the time and effort to do so. But today you did. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Building Psychological Strength. Now, if you're interested in building the mental toughness, confidence, and resilience you need to thrive through life's ups and downs, visit us at www.peakmindpsychology.com. Also, if there's someone in your life who could benefit from this episode, please share it with them. And if you yourself found this episode valuable, meaning if you took away even one insight that you can use to build psychological strength in your own life, we would so appreciate it if you would drop us a rating and a review on iTunes. The thing is, the more ratings and reviews we have, the easier it is to get this powerful and important content out to the people who need to hear it. Remember, your mind can be your most valuable asset or your biggest liability, and you get to choose. So choose wisely, my friend, and I'll see you next time on Building Psychological Strength.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.